Today's recording is Le'ilui Nishmas for the sake of the ascent of the soul of Devorah Rivka Bas Avroham, whose yahrzeit is tomorrow, by her daughter Batsheva and Tzvi Nass. May her merit protect the entire family. Probably one of the most famous prayers in the entire world, and certainly one of the most beautiful, is what's now known as the Serenity Prayer, composed by Reinhold Niebuhr and adopted by Alcoholics Anonymous, and recited by many, many people looking to navigate the continuous dialectic in life between trying and wanting to make our reality and our world better, on the one hand, and on the other, the fact that so often that ability is not in our hands, and so often life happens not the way we would like it to. And the wording of the Serenity Prayer is as follows: God, grant me the serenity to accept those things I cannot change, the courage to change those things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, this is certainly a beautiful idea and, of course, definitely theologically true, according to Judaism, at the level of pshat, at the simple level. The dialectical fact that God gives us on one end the ability to change things, better ourselves, better the world, better our circumstances, and we need courage to attempt to do that. But on the other hand, there are some things that we just can't change, that are beyond our control. This is, of course, all true. But you know, there's, of course, a deeper level, a much deeper level, that's explained based on Kabbalah and Hasidism. Because, you know, of course, semantics always matter in theology. Semantics are very important when it comes to belief in God. And although the Serenity Prayer is accurate, but there's a deeper way of saying it with deeper semantics. And the secret of that is really given over in the Zohar, when the Zohar speaks about the deeper meaning of the Jews crossing the Red Sea, Kriyas Yamsuf, that the Torah teaches, and we're about to read this in 2 days on the seventh day of Pesach when we celebrate the actual splitting of the Red Sea and our crossing Kriyas Yamsuf. The Torah says, "Ubnei Yisrael bo b'toich hayam b'yabosha," that the Israelites entered the sea in dry land, which is, of course, purposely paradoxical. B'soich hayam b'yabosha, the B'nai Yisrael entered into the sea on dry land. And the Zohar explains that the secret of dry land is what's known as Alma d'Izgalia, the revealed world. And B'toich hayam, the sea, under the sea, is Alma d'Iskasia, the concealed world. That there are two levels, two planes of reality. One is known as the revealed world, one is known as the concealed world. And as Hasidism explains, these are not two separate worlds. They're two ways of perceiving reality. There are two planes, perspectives of existence. The concealed world is the one that's in the sea, under the sea. If we may quote our Disney friends, under the sea means that level of reality where everything is perceived to be within God's light, like the fish in the sea, that all of reality is essentially a revelation of God's light. There's nothing other than God, and all of reality is felt to be within the light of God that's in the sea. There's no place for free choice because there's no place for independent being. Everything is just a continuous emanation of the light of God. And then there's the revealed world, dry land, where we're outside the land, where we're separate entities from the land. And that's the reality that we usually live in, where we are independent beings and we have free choice and we cause reality happen and we change things. And it's in our hands that things could change or not change. Now, seemingly, these are two distinct ways of viewing the world. Is all of reality under the sea just an emanation of God's light, enveloped, absorbed within God, and all world history is just God's will? Or are we distinct realities that have a separate existence, and we change things? And the secret of the crossing of the Red Sea is that, paradoxically, both of these things are true. Not that we could logically understand, it isn't logical, but they're both true. And the revelation of the crossing of the Red Sea is to be able to recite the Serenity Prayer as follows: God, Grant me the serenity that comes from knowing that everything is just your light, God. Grant me the serenity that comes from knowing that all of reality is just an infinite revelation of your bliss, your joy, your presence, and your being. And when Mashiach comes, we will experience that we're always under the sea. But God, grant me the courage to know that you've given us the ability. You've done tzimtzum, you've contracted yourself, and you've allowed us to change reality and bring about the apex of history, bring about the messianic revelation through our free choice and our good deeds. That it is in our hands to change and better the world and ourselves and all of humanity. Give us the courage to know that you believed in us, that it should be in our hands to bring about the messianic revelation and to fix reality. And please, God, give us the wisdom that comes from knowing that both of these aspects of reality are true. Give us the wisdom to be able to meditate on entering the sea on dry land, of accepting this ultimate paradox that it is totally in our hands to change and better ourselves and the world and reality. And at the same time, we're always under the sea. We're within your light, God, all the time. We could have supreme and utter serenity and bliss in knowing that whatever happens is your will, God. And when Mashiach comes, we will see and have the wisdom to see how these truths are both true. We will enter the sea on dry land for all eternity when God will split the seas, take away the veil that's concealing his light, and we will be on dry land in our physical independent bodies and still within God's infinity, which is the secret of the coming of Mashiach.